model of servanthood from Moses, from David, from Jeremiah, from Isaiah, from the Lord himself, and last week from Stephen. And this week we are looking at another choice servant of our Lord. In the New Testament, he was a protege of Paul by the name of Timothy. We should be very familiar with Timothy. We first met him in the 16th chapter of Acts. Paul found him in a town called Lystra. Paul was on his second missionary journey at the time, and Timothy was probably no more than a teenager then. He was already a believer. And not only a believer, he was already enjoying a fine reputation among the believers. Acts 16 verse 2 tells us that the brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. And from then on, Paul took him along, doing much of his ministry. And Paul mentored him, and Paul loved him like a son. When we read the text for today, we find him in Ephesus. Paul had left him there. Paul had left him there and charged him to shepherd and to lead the Ephesian congregation. And the reason why Paul wrote this second letter to Timothy was to encourage him. Not only to encourage him to serve. Paul did not have to do that. Timothy had already been serving the Lord since he was a very young man. Timothy had been a very faithful servant of the Lord. And it's not the need to serve that Timothy needed to learn. Paul writes this second letter to Timothy to encourage him to serve with consistency, to encourage him to serve with endurance, and to encourage him to serve with strength. Paul says to Timothy, "I know where I left you is a difficult place." Paul says to Timothy, "I know you are going to be overwhelmed with oppositions. I know you're going to be overwhelmed with frustration. I know it's not going to get any easier." But all through these two letters, we will find a constant theme in Paul's writing. Paul is constantly teaching him and encouraging him how to serve with endurance in the face of opposition. Paul is encouraging and teaching and urging Timothy how to serve with endurance in the face of disappointment, how to serve with endurance in the face of discouragement. You see, difficulty and discouragements are occupational hazards for everyone who wants to serve the Lord. It comes with a turf. It comes with a blessing. 2 Timothy verse 13, chapter 2, we just read it. Paul says, "While evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue. Continue in what you have learned and continue in what you have become convinced of." You see, serving God is easy because God is always faithful. God never disappoints us. But serving God's people, that's a totally different story. There's a hymn titled, "There's Joy in Serving Jesus." Remember I used to tell you that I don't like that song? I don't like that hymn? I was very honest with you. I don't like that song. But I realized that I need to qualify that statement that I made previously. I should say, yes, there is joy in serving Jesus. Who would not find it a joy to serve the Lord? I mean, where can you find a more perfect person to serve? But too often, there is no joy in serving believers of Jesus. That is why this passage is so relevant to us, because it speaks to the urgent need for us today in our church. The urgent need that we have in our church today is not teaching the congregation that everyone needs to serve. We all know that. We have been learning that for a long time. Not perfectly, of course, but at least we are learning. Everyone needs to serve. Many of us are serving in various ministry. But what is more critical for us to learn is exactly what Timothy needs to learn. Paul's second letter to him is just such instruction. How to serve with consistency. How to serve with endurance when the opposition is overwhelming, when you're overwhelmed with disappointment. How you can still serve with consistency and endurance when you're overwhelmed by discouragement, when you're overwhelmed by irritation, when you're overwhelmed by frustration. Paul said to Timothy, and Paul is saying to us all, what we all need to learn is how to serve God's people, especially when God's people are such a challenge. You see, it is not just service that counts. It is service with faithfulness that counts. It is service with endurance that counts. It is service with ever-increasing grace that counts. So you might ask, how? How do we serve with consistency and endurance? And Paul answered Timothy. And Paul is answering us. Number one, ask God for a model of godly servanthood and imitate it. Ask God for a model of godly servanthood and imitate it. That's from verses 10 to 14. And number two, in verses 15 to 17, Paul is saying, equip your service with the authority and with the power of the Word of God. Look at verse 10. Paul reminds Timothy, you know all about my teaching. Paul is saying to Timothy, follow the way I teach. Follow what I teach. You were right there, side by side with me, day after day, Timothy. Every word I spoke, you've heard it. Through all circumstances and through different circumstances and different audiences, my words are always consistent. I don't say one thing to one group and say something else to another group. All my words are consistent, calling all men to the same repentance and faith in Christ, proclaiming the same standard, proclaiming the same expectation from God to all men, preaching no other gospel except the cross of Christ, trusting no fancy argument, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said to Timothy, you have seen me, how I teach. I compromise with no one. I compromise with no fancy argument except teaching the truth of our God. And then Paul is saying to Timothy, oh, Timothy, I know the church in Ephesus is desperately in need of God's word being taught with such power and with such consistency. And God has placed you there just for that purpose. I know how the enemies of Christ oppose you. I know how the enemies of Christ oppose the truth. I know because I have faced them all myself. But I kept teaching. I kept teaching the truth that has been entrusted me. Now you do the same. Now you do the same. You can do the same, just as I have completed my calling. You see the value and the urgency and the necessity of teaching. Many of us are called to be teachers in our congregation. Never ever underestimate how young your students are. 1 year old, 2 years old, they are learning spiritual things already. They are far more receptive than you give them credit for. Shouldn't we continue our teaching ministry with the same urgency and faithfulness? And then Paul said to Timothy, you know all about my way of life. Paul is saying to Timothy, follow the way I live. I have nothing to hide in my life, Paul is saying to Timothy. What you see in me is no appearance. What you see in me is a real thing. Many preachers will be honest, and many preachers will say to you, do what I say and don't do what I do. But not Paul. Paul can say how I live and what I say are the same thing. And Paul is saying to you, Timothy, you have been with me for so long and you have been with me for so close. You can testify that I practice what I preach. You see, Paul preached a lot about anger. Paul preached and writes a lot about sexual purity. Paul writes and preaches a lot about walking by faith, about living by the Holy Spirit, about putting off the old self. Paul writes and preaches a lot about overcoming temptation. And Paul is saying, you can testify the way I live, I practice what I preach. Such godly model of ministry, a powerful source of enduring strength for anyone who wants to serve. And then Paul continued by saying to Timothy, you know all about my purpose. Paul said to Timothy, follow my life purpose. Here is a secret. Here is a secret of Paul's consistency and endurance. Paul has an unshakable and unchanging purpose of life. He writes to different churches, and he will say the same thing. He writes to the church in Corinth. Paul says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in this body or we are away from it. Paul is saying that whether I live or I die, all my lifelong purpose is the same, to please my Lord, to please my Savior. And he will write the same thing to the church in Philippi. Paul says to the Philippians, I am in chains for Christ. All my life circumstances, whatever difficulty I find myself in, or I get myself in, is for the purpose of Christ. And then he will go on, so that whether as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether in life or by death. He said the same thing to the Corinthians. Whether in this body or out of this body, whether I live or I die, my life purpose, so that Christ may be exalted. And then he will continue to say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Anyone who can serve with such unshakable consistency of purpose in life will be able to serve the Lord with endurance. See, why is our service so shaky? Why is our service so inconsistent? Not because we don't serve. I keep saying most of us are serving in one way or another. Our service is so shaky and so inconsistent. It's because of our purpose of life. We fluctuate. We swing like a pendulum between for Christ or for myself. We fluctuate, we swing like a pendulum between for Christ's pleasure or for my own pleasure. We fluctuate between Christ's will or my own will. We swing between Christ's timing or my own timing. This is the degree of our swinging, the degree of our fluctuation will determine the degree of the strength and consistency of our service. And then Paul goes on to tell Timothy, you know all about my faith. Paul is saying to Timothy, follow my faith. Paul knew how to serve with faith. He knows what to hope for in the people he served. He knows what he likes to see in the people he served. And even though he might not see it yet, he was still certain of it. The Corinthian gave Paul so much grief that Paul had to write at least 4 letters to them. 2 have been lost, and now we have 2 in our hands. I'll read to you. Paul writes to the Corinthians. The first thing he said in chapter 1, he said, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what Paul is saying? Paul is saying the Corinthians and seeing them as blameless. Of all the churches in the entire New Testament, the Corinthians were the farthest away from being blameless. The Corinthians were the most blameworthy of all the churches in the New Testament. Blamelessness, certainly far from reality. And yet, Paul could still serve the Corinthians so patiently, so consistently, because his eyes of faith allow him to see not their present blameworthiness, but their future blamelessness. He writes to the Philippians the same thing. He said, he is confident that he who began a good work in the Corinthian church will carry it to completion. You see, unless we see people we serve with eyes of faith, we will never be able to serve with strength for very long. Unless we see in our people that we serve what they will be and not what they are, we will not be able to serve them with consistency for very long. If we want to serve with consistency and endurance, we need to see people not the way they are. but the way they will be. And ask God, may it be the greatest miracle you will ever do in our congregation by changing people like that. And then Paul continued to write to Timothy, you know all about my patience. Ray Steadman is one of my heroes. Ray Steadman was a former pastor. He passed on about 22 years ago. He was a former pastor of Peninsula Bible Church in Palo Alto. It's one of the most effective, one of the most powerful witnesses for the Lord in the Bay Area. His ministry spanned 40, 50 years, from 1950 to the end of 1980s. He once said about this when he was preaching this verse. I'm quoting him. He said, I have found that not everybody is as lovely, gracious, sweet, and easy to get along with as I am. So there are times I am tempted to be impatient. Now I'm quoting him. With those stupid people who cannot respond like I do. They, of course, are thinking the same thing about me. Now, I did not call people I serve stupid. I was quoting Ray Steadman. Ray Steadman, powerfully ministered in the Bay Area in the 60s and 70s, and then, beginning the 50s, right? And you remember what the Bay Area, like San Francisco, was like in the 60s and the 70s, right? Ray Steadman's church that he led was a powerful, powerful, effective ministry. And yet, such a faithful servant of the Lord who impacted such a generation of baby boomers far and wide. And yet, he so honestly called some of the people he had to minister stupid people. Of course, he was very quick to add that they are thinking the same thing about him. I will be honest with you. You know all about me. You know all about my patience. And you know that I'm very, very patient with tasks. Years ago, Mark Hei Chan, you probably don't know him, but the Chinese congregation would know him. Okay, was in our church. He was invited to be a speaker in a pastor's conference in the Chicago area, and I was the host. And he had prepared notes for the pastors, hundreds of pages for each pastor. And he asked me to print them. Now, you know how many Chinese pastors there are in the area. So I have to be printing about thousands of copies. Now, at that time, we did not have our new Xerox machines yet. Do you remember the huge, obsolete monster of a Xerox machine that was donated to us? You remember the huge thing that occupied one quarter of my office? You don't remember that. We got rid of it a long time ago. Well, that machine at the time was the only one that we had, but it was already on life support. In other words, it died already. We just kept, calling servicemen to come and repair it. And it can only take one page at a time. The feeder was all shot. You cannot put it there, and there was no automatic feeding. I had to feed blank paper in there one at a time. Can you imagine printing thousands of copies by feeding paper one at a time? No, but your guest speaker asked you too. What are you going to do? You want to take it to Ginkgo or Ginkgo, whatever, office depot or something? Thousands of pages. You know how much that will cost? So what do you do? So I fed one at a time. Mark Hagen was dumbfounded by how patient I was with a task. But do you know what? My wife would tell you that. The older I get, the grumpier I get with people. And I confess, many of you irritates me. If Ray Steadman can openly say that so many of his people that he ministers to are stupid people, I confess that many of you irritates me. I have been irritated by many of you, not everyone, but many. But just like Ray Steadman, who said, I'm tempted to be impatient with those stupid people who cannot respond like I do, but I also know that I irritate many of you. So we're trying to get even, right? I know that many of you have been irritated by me. It is so true, isn't it? To live above with things we love, what is that? That's glory. To live in heaven with the saints, with the people that we love, that's heavenly. But to live below with saints we know, that's another story. The Bible tells us to be patient with one another. Now that does not give us license to continue irritating one another. I need to be changed by the Lord, so that I will not continue to irritate you. You pray for me, that I will grow to maturity. You pray for me so that I will not continue to irritate you. Won't you pray with faith to see what I will be and not what I am today? You know, I always use myself as the butt of my rebuke. Okay? Reverse. That is patient with one another. No one can serve for long and with strength without patience with people. And then Paul continued to say to Timothy, you know all about my love. Paul is saying to Timothy, follow the way I love. Paul served the Lord so consistently, not because he had to, not because he could not make a living doing something else. Paul served the Lord with such endurance, not because he had no future, not because preaching is the only way he can pay his bills. Paul did not serve the Lord out of guilt, not because the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, hey, Paul, you have been hibernating for so long. You know, others are tired and nobody else is doing the job, so you got to stand up and avail yourself to do the job. No. Paul served the Lord with such consistency, not because of guilt, not because he couldn't do anything else, but he served because he loved those he served. If it were not because of love, any other motivation of service will grind you to a halt very, very quickly. So many of us have served before, but our service lacks consistency and our service lacks endurance. Everyone needs to examine his motives. Why did I avail myself to serve in the first place? If it were not because I love those whom I serve, our service would not last. And then Paul continued to say to Timothy, you know all about my endurance. Paul is saying to Timothy, follow the way I endure. Now, I know I repeat these two words so often in this congregation. Don't I always say consistency all the time? Don't I always say endurance all the time? Now, don't be irritated with me by repeating those two words. If you are going to be irritated by these two words, be irritated by the Word of God. Because consistency and endurance are themes repeated in the scripture over and over again. Endurance means overcoming the temptation to quit. How many people in the Bible were facing the temptation to quit? There are millions of reasons why we should quit. Everyone who ever served God has those millions of reasons. Jesus had them. You think Jesus did not think about quitting? Paul had them. You think Paul did not have those temptations about quitting? Timothy had them. I have them. You don't think I never ever be tempted to quit? And I know you have them too. But there's only one reason why they did not quit. And there's only one reason why I should not quit and you should not quit. And that one reason is the word faithfulness. Faithful before the Lord motivate us to endure. And then Paul said to Timothy, you know all about my persecution and suffering. You see, suffering is a profound truth about our Christian identity and about our Christian life. If we suffer because of our own sins and our own harmful habits, that's justice. If I smoke and if I take drugs and I suffer, that's only justice. But so much of our suffering is because of sins of others and actions of others. And when we suffer because of the sin of others, we cry, we say, unfair, and we complain. And we complain, what is the point about suffering like that? What is the reason, what is the purpose of suffering because of sins of others? You see, this is the problem of pain. The problem of pain is a profound question, with no easy answer and no complete answer. But the Bible does give us one answer. We Christians suffer we Christians serve with unjust pain, with unjust suffering and unjust misunderstanding. You know why? Because it is absolutely necessary if we are to grow in our knowledge of Christ our Lord. Because it is absolutely necessary if we are to grow in our knowledge of our Lord. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That is the verse that tells us that we need to be suffering every day. Not bearing the cross of Christ means we suffer our pain every day. But when Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 3, he said, I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. I taught this verse before, over and over again, not once, but many times. I use the illustration of my father, so I won't repeat that. What Paul is saying to us about suffering and service is this. We Christians, we have very little knowledge about our Lord Jesus. We may be so intimate with Christ. Even if we have been able to work with him and walk with him, even if we have been so close with Christ that we have been even held in his arms, that we have been talked with him in person, we still, the knowledge that we have Christ is so incomplete until we know his pain and suffering. Until we have been rejected like Christ was rejected, we still do not have a complete knowledge of Christ. Until we have been misunderstood like Christ was misunderstood. Until we have been condemned like Christ was condemned, our knowledge of our Lord is still so incomplete. So you know why we don't quit in our service? Why do we continue to serve, enduring pain and enduring misunderstanding afflicted by those we serve? You know why? So that we may know Christ to the fullest. So that we don't just know a few statements about him. We cannot be like Christ unless we know him. And we cannot know him to the full until we continue to serve, even when pain is overwhelming. It is part of our growing up out of a spiritual infancy. It is part of knowing Christ and being like him. Take a look at verse 12. Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's an occupational hazard. It comes with the benefit of being a Christian. It comes with the benefit of being a servant of the Lord. Do you know how to be a Christian without paying a price? Would you like to be a Christian without paying the price? Easy. Be a chameleon. You know what a chameleon is, right? It's a lizard that changes color. Be a chameleon Christian. Change color with whomever you are with. If you are with people who are spiritually passionate for the Lord, change color to be like them. Have the same form of godliness without the reality of power. At least on service, you may look passionate. But when you are with people who are spiritually slumbering, change your color and join the pajama party. You'll be welcome. But being a chameleon Christian is like what Jesus said about Saul having lost his taste. It's useless. When the first opposition and frustration come, a chameleon Christian is going to run the opposite way. You know who was like that? Who served the Lord like that? Jonah. Jonah was a master of that kind of service. But if you do not have a solid, worthy, living model to mentor you in service, let this passage be your mentor. Let Paul's words speak to us as he spoke to Timothy. Paul says to us, you and I know all about his teaching, all about his way of life, his purpose, his faith, his patience, his love, his endurance, and the pain and persecution that he endured. You see, I used to be terribly irritated by Paul. I say that many times before. I didn't like Paul. Again and again, he would say, imitate me, follow my example. 7 times he said that. I mean, he didn't write that many letters. I mean, there are many letters, but they're very short, right? 7 times he said, imitate me, follow my example. I thought, man, this guy's got a big ego problem. But then I realized he really got the real credential to say that. And then I realized that if I really imitate him and follow his example, I really can live. I really can work. I really can serve my Lord with renewing strength, with vitality, with endurance and fruitfulness. So I say to myself now, thank God for placing a mentor like him beside me, just as he was beside Timothy. So I urge you, let this old man by the name of Paul be your mentor, just as you serve. Now there's a second instruction to us about how we can serve with consistency and endurance. This is verses 15 to 17. Paul says, equip your service with the authority and with the power of the scripture. Paul said to Timothy and to us, let the word of God guide you. Let the word of God sustain you in all situations, no matter how painful, no matter how difficult, no matter how impossible. Paul said, you have had me as a model to follow. Now you can also have the word of God for your sustenance. Paul said, let the word of God renew your strength. Let the word of God renew your focus. Paul said to Timothy, you are not new to the truth, because from infancy you have tasted the goodness of the word of God. From infancy you have seen the power of God. This is in verse 15. Paul said, from infancy you have known the Holy Scripture, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From the time he was an infant, from the time he was on the lap of those taking care of him, Timothy's heart and Timothy's mind have been sustained by God's word. Now, who instills such love for God's word in an infant named Timothy? Well, who was the poor people closest to an infant? Women. And who are the women closest to Timothy? His mother and his grandmother. Because in chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. Why do we make such a big deal about the scripture? Why do we make such a big deal about the Bible? We make such a big deal about the Bible because of its power at work in the lives of all those who receives it with receptivity. Paul says, the Bible is able to make you wise for salvation. You see, when we serve the Lord, what we need more is not so much know-how, but wisdom. All the workshop that you go to is not going to help us serve any better, unless the wisdom of God is upon us. Know-how is valuable. All those workshops are valuable. If you are tech-savvy, your computer skill is going to make your job a lot easier. But your computer skill will not make you wiser. I thank God that we have wonderful computer-savvy people. You know, in the old days, when we write checks and we would pay bills, from time to time, there's going to be some bills that are skipped. Edward. Now everything is automatic. Everything is sent out on the right time. We never get penalized because we send out late statements or late payments. Certainly the computer will make our job easier. But the computer does not make us wiser. Only the transforming power of God's word can make us wiser and godlier. Wisdom of the world or being smart have its usefulness. I'm not saying it's useless, but they are counterfeit in spiritual usefulness. Because wisdom of the world and being smart has no life-giving power. Only the real thing, only the Word of God, has life-changing and life-giving power. Not only for an infant like Timothy, but also for those of us who are serving, who are tired, who are frustrated, who are disappointed. Paul said to Timothy, and Paul is saying to us all, you have been so blessed by godly, by wise mother and grandmother. You have tasted the goodness. You have tasted the power of God's word. Now you are no longer an infant. Now you are servant of the Lord. You are now placed between a rock and a hard place. Now just as you knew the power of God when you were a child, now sustain your service today. with the same power. Paul goes on to encourage Timothy, God's word is not only a sustaining power, God's word is a powerful tool in our hands for our service. That's verses 16 to 17. We are very familiar with these two verses. Paul reminds Timothy, we could use God's word most profitably for four things. Teaching, reproving, that means rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The man of God. Man of God is not only Timothy, not only the clergy, but for Christians, because everyone who are saved are called to be men and women of God. For every good word, for every ministry in the church. Any time in our service of the Lord when we are ready to throw in the towel. Any time when we are tempted to quit and retire. Open your Bible. Read the life and ministry of Moses. Read how he failed. Read how God prepared him and how God recalled him. Read about the pain and frustration and irritation he had to endure. Anytime you feel like you're ready to quit and retired, open your Bible and read Jeremiah. Read his complaints and read how God answers his complaints. Open your Bible and read Isaiah and read how successful he was as a prophet. Open your Bible and read Elijah. Read how tired Elijah was. Read how tired Jesus was. Read what Paul had to endure. And read all about their faithfulness. Read all about their endurance. Read all about how they renewed their strength. No one can receive God's word without being changed. No one who is receptive to God's word can receive it without being renewed. How could anyone serve with consistency? How could anyone serve with endurance? They are godly models for us to imitate. And then they are God's word to sustain us and to renew us. Let's all stand as we respond with a closing song.